The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour.
We're coming now.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft, the Marks. It's the show no one asked for. So if we haven't met, I'm John. I produce Wrestling Daft normally and various other podcasts. My Wrestling Mark qualifications are that I ran a back garden federation in Larbert when I was 8.
Ooh, that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
Me, my brother, my best friend and my brother's friend, and we were basically, you know, because they were small, they were invited on so we could pick up and do get our press slams on them pretty much.
So were you the big show of that federation then, were you?
Pretty much. I should have packed up Chris with the big show once.
Ooh, I've been in a lift with him once.
Have you really?
Genuinely slightly worried that it was gonna stop halfway up.
Wow, that's pretty good. So I should have packed up the Chris with the big show, and I once won a fancy dress competition dressed as Animal from the Legion of Doom. True story.
Did everyone think you were Hawk? Because to be fair, if you put Hawk and Animal, like some two people dressed up as Hawk and Animal and asked me to say which one's Hawk and which one's Animal, I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
That's because you're young. But yeah, me and my best friend went dressed as Animal and Hawk. So that's my wrestling qualifications. Alex, we've already heard that you've shared a lift with the big show. Have you got any wrestling qualifications beyond that?
Literally none. I have watched many, many hours of wrestling. I have, similar to yourself, we had a little wrestling federation when we were kids. I was maybe 3 or 4 times Intercontinental Champion because we never actually had a heavyweight champion because we all just felt for this Intercontinental belt. So the classic TCW, I think my friend Shane right now will be marking out pretty hard at the mention of his favourite wrestling federation.
All right, and what was your finisher, Alex?
Oh, it's been so long, I can't even remember. I think it was something very similar to a Boston Crab.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just sit on their back and pull their legs around.
Kind of, you know, Walls of Jericho style.
Yeah, that kind of
Lion Tamer thing. All right, cool. So basically, while Rab and Grado, they're like Raw, aren't they, really? We're a bit like Main Event. So yeah, we're basically going to be...
Oh, you've completely buried us already, John.
We're
calling
already.
Us Main Event, for God's sake.
Basically, we're going to sell the hell out of Rab and Grado, plug everything that they do, but we're going to look at wrestling from more of a fan's perspective than what they do, because let's face the fact, Grado knows fuck all about the current product.
Oh, but he does have the contacts that we don't have.
Well,
so
exactly.
We've got the knowledge, Grado's got the contact. Rab's just somewhere in between.
Yeah, Grado's, you know, slept on CM Punk's couch, you know, he's wrestled some of the greats. He's about to wrestle Ken Shamrock in Missouri.
Minoru Suzuki.
So yeah, they do all that stuff. We'll do it more from a fan's perspective, and also try to chat to some of the people behind the scenes while we go as well. So this week in the show, we're going to be looking back at the wrestling shows that have been going on this week. We're going to be burying and putting over things, much like Rab and Grado do. We'll be speaking to Sports Kida Wrestling Journal Gary Cassidy. We had him on while we were recovering. Everybody loved Gary. He's got some brilliant stories and he's first to the news. So he's going to be coming in to talk about the latest from the business. We're going to introduce a new feature called Fantasy Booking Island, where we basically are going to look at some of the things we'd like to see happen.
And probably very unrealistic and very over the top, because I think that's the only way to do fantasy booking, in my opinion.
We're going to do Fantasy Booking Island. Alex has been working on this all week, so I'm intrigued to see what he's come up with the Fantasy Booking. Excellent, can't wait. And ICW owner Mark Dallas is going to be talking through some of his favourite things in wrestling in a feature we're going to call the 10 Count, so that'll be later on the show. But let's kick off with a question I want to ask you, Alex, okay? Now, this has been doing the rounds on social media. You can see the video up on the Wrestling Daft Twitter and Facebook. It's Michael Jackson in Brazil. Now, Have you seen this?
I have seen this. Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's absolutely the best gimmick I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, let me just talk you through it.
Also, Carmella can eat her fucking heart out with that moonwalk as well. Absolutely. Like, I mean,
absolutely. This wrestler, is basically, his gimmick is he's dressed up as Michael Jackson, and he just plays up the character. So he does a moonwalk DDT. He does a kind of Shimon elbow where he kind of spins round elbows and then jumps up onto his two kind of on his tiptoes. Unbelievable. So I was thinking, right.
Well, quickly, before you get onto that, the big question about Michael Jackson is, how family friendly is that gimmick?
I don't know if it... It wasn't proven. Remember when they freed the doves? But here's my question for you. If there was a celebrity you could gimmick, right? Think about a celebrity out there, maybe a character from a TV show that you could bring in as a wrestling gimmick. Who would it be, Alex?
Now, you asked me to think about this a couple of days ago. And so, as such, it has actually since been recast.
Right, okay.
So my initial casting was originally going to be Charles Dance. And it was going to be half the Prime Minister from Ali G, and half Tywin Lannister.
Right.
And he was going to be the heel British manager of Mustache Mountain.
I quite like that.
And he was going to come out and tirade everything. Like, he was originally going to turn out and be really positive, a really nice British person. Right. And then was going to slowly slither into like an evil Brexit, fucking Brexiteer.
Is that not what Regal is though, really?
To a certain degree, but the casting has had a small tweak.
Right.
So I've removed Charles Dance.
Okay, okay.
And I've instead added Patrick Stewart instead.
Right.
For one reason. So he would be an evil version of Jean-Luc Picard. So he'd go on his tirade, and just at the end of his tirade, he'd point at the ring, and he'd just go, engage! And then, of course, down would run Trent Seven and Tyler Bate, and it would be great.
Or he could be like, a booker, and just sort of say, you know, make matches, and just go, make it so.
Exactly. There's so much you can do with that gimmick.
So you've went for the kind of gimmick of kind of manager stroke general manager.
I'd say I want him specifically Patrick Stewart. I want him to be the Mustache Mountain manager, because I think those boys can go for fucking miles in WWE, and I think he'd really put them over the top. I think it'd be great.
All right, okay. Well, I've kind of been thinking of a gimmick, right, and I don't think this has really been done recently. I've certainly not seen it done before. Is a wizard gimmick. Now, wizards are popular, aren't they?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Harry Potter, Gandalf.
Game of Thrones, to a certain degree.
Game of Thrones. So why has there never been a wizard gimmick? In fact, there's never really been a magician gimmick, has there? Like a Paul Daniels wrestler.
No, there hasn't. But that does tricks in between matches and stuff.
Yeah, you could go into the crowd and, you know, forget the wizard. Let's go for this magician gimmick. And then, like, you'd, like, disappear out of the ring and things like that.
Do you have a casting in mind, though?
Well, I was thinking Gandalf for the wizard, but now I'm kind of switching it. I quite like the idea of a Paul Daniels style wrestler.
I think that would work quite well, actually. He would get booed out of the fucking house, but I think it would
work. Not a lot. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to go for. Listen, if you've got any of these, we'd love to hear from it, and we'll pass it on to Rabin Grado for the big show on Friday. So, think celebrities that could be a wrestling gimmick. I'm saying Paul Daniels.
Patrick Stewart. So I don't think anyone was expecting Paul Daniels and Patrick Stewart out of this fucking segment.
I wasn't. We'd love to hear yours. So get us on at Wrestling Daft. Tweet us your celebrity gimmick wrestler on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast and just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. And we'll make sure that Rab and Grado will get a few of these into the big show on Friday at 3:16. So not only can you now get Wrestling Daft merch, we have also launched on Patreon. That's right, you can get lots of extra Wrestling Daft content by signing up our Patreon page at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft.
Just think how much more stories you can hear about Grado's lovely, lovely, lovely sphincter.
Exactly. We've got some really nice tiers that have set up there. We've also started putting up bonus content as well. At the moment, Rab and Grado spoke about it last week, about a video that Rab had done for SWA back in the day. So you basically, on that video, he sent it through to me and we put it up on the Patreon just now. It's SWA, so you can see Grado before he was Grado. So this is 2006, so Grado would have been... I think just a teenager then.
I think he's a couple of years older than me.
So you can see Grado, and it's really weird seeing him because he's not got any tattoos or anything. So he's just a young lad. The other thing you can see in the video is Finn Balor before he was Finn Balor. So you can see a very young Finn Balor, and he is still like...
Does he have the washboard?
Still has the washboard. You can see him do a coup de grace. off the top rope. So we've got that currently up on our Patreon just now. So get up and you can see that if you sign up for Tier 1, because we're going to put some extra bonus content on our Tier 1. So basically that's $4 a month, which is about £3 a month. So, you know, a coffee a month, really, or a pint a month. On that tier...
Half a pint with these days' prices, John.
That's true. If you're in the city, absolutely. Patreon-only chat community you'll get on Tier 1. You'll get ad-free versions of all our episodes. You'll get a full unedited version of the podcast. You also get bonus content from the show, little bits and bobs, like I say, we've put the SWA thing. And the other thing that you're going to be able to do up there is vote on the list of wrestling daft, which we do with Rab and Grado. So this week, I put the vote up to our Patreons, and it was between, as Ric Flair turned 71 this week, it was your favourite Ric Flair moments, or the other one, and off the back of Cody Rhodes' moonsault, was your favourite spot you've ever seen in a match.
Oh, that's very general. I was about to say, I thought you were about to say favourite spot from like a cage or a cell. And
no,
I was like,
no,
that's just going to be people posting about Mick Foley and Undertaker.
Yeah, pretty
it?
Much. That's the way it's going to go. But yeah, we're going to be doing that in the list of Wrestling Daft this week, as voted for by our patrons. So if you want to get involved in that vote, you have to sign up for our Patreon. That's the Tier 1 prospect, which is the Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month. Tier 2 is the Intercontinental Champion, which is about $10 a month, so about £7.70 in the kind of current exchange rate. You'll get everything in Tier 1, but you also get a video version of the podcast every week. So we're going to start filming it so you can see Rab and Grado's lovely bunces on that. And once a month, you're going to get a bonus episode as well. So Rab and Grado are going to throw out a bonus episode. Sometimes that's going to be like they were talking about doing one where we're going to talk about Grado's time in TNA, his run to the championship, and ICW is going to be another one. They're going to talk through the Kelvin Brawl, which they both kind of put on together. Rab was a promoter for that, and it was an iconic Glasgow wrestling event. So
I'd imagine very shortly after that, there'll be a Kelvin Brawl too, but I mean...
Yeah, well...
got to capitalise on these
situations, don't you? Exactly, exactly. So... we're going to do that. And then Tier 3 is the World Heavyweight Champion, which is $20 a month, a bit more expensive. This is for the high rollers. It's about £15 a month. And with that, you're going to get basically a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt from one of our designs. You'll have to sign up for 3 months for that, but you're going to get a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt with a design of your choice. And we're going to start doing live events. We're going to be taking the show on the road really, really soon with Rab and Grado. So you'll get free tickets for every live event that we do on that as well.
Well, that's not half bad there, is it?
It's not bad. So get involved now if you fancy any of that. It's patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. That's patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And become one of our patrons for lots of extra content. So every week on Wrestling Daft the Marks, we want to find out what the hell's been going on in the world of wrestling. Now, when we were covering for Rab and Grado, myself and Alex, we were joined by our third partner in crime. He's from Sports Kida. He's now got his own range of t-shirts. He's becoming that popular, I'll tell you that
much.
I
wonder where he got that idea from,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please welcome Gary Casty. All right, Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing absolutely brilliant, and it's definitely not available on the same website as the Wrestling Daft t-shirts either, so I definitely did the copies.
Okay, come on, let's give the t-shirts a plug while we can. Come on, where can we get a Gary Casty t-shirt?
You can find me on Twitter, Gary Cassidy, which is actually at Conscious Gary, because I'm still struggling to get that handle, and I am retweeting it all the time, because obviously you need to be a shell for yourself and be a mark for yourself, so so it's definitely always visible on my Twitter.
So you can have your very own Gary Cassidy t-shirt, get yourself onto Gary's Twitter, and you can get yourself one of those. While you're at it, you might as well check out our Wrestling Daft merch is there, just plug that as well.
It's payday in a week. So
yeah, exactly. So Gary, let's get into the news then, and there has been more Hall of Fame rumours for WrestleMania weekend.
Yep, this one leads in nicely for last week on Wrestling Daft when we were talking about the Bella Twins getting into the Hall of Fame. So obviously they got confirmed on SmackDown, so that one's at the window. Don't need to talk too much more about that. Obviously the other one was Jushin Thunder Liger. JBL's been mentioned as well, but the most recent one is the one that everybody's been clamouring for, and it's Davey Boy Smith. So last week or 2 weeks ago on WWE The Bump, which is their wee kind of social media show, they had on Davey Boy Smith's son, and everybody's gone, oh, that's a bit strange that he's on that. He was on it with Natalia and stuff. And then now it's came out a week later that apparently it was at Stanford essentially discussing this. Another wee kind of lead on for that. So that came for Dave Meltzer. But the wee lead on that came for Paul Davies at wrestlingnews.co.uk is apparently the person that's going to induct him will be Bret Hart. So that's quite a nice wee touch there. I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, it's probably going to be a nice one. And apparently Amy's son is going to be in as well. So long overdue, I think. That's no, we need Christian to go in and everybody can stop moaning.
No one will ever stop moaning. Don't be silly, Gary.
Where would be the fun in that?
Exactly. No, I think it's about time.
There would be no wrestling podcast with no one moaning, John.
Exactly. You know, when you say British Bulldog, then we can start moaning about Dynamite Kid then going in.
That'll be the next one.
So on from the Hall of Fame, and we're back into a potential WrestleMania match, Edge versus Randy Orton, not Edge versus Christian. And it looks like it might be happening, or there's certainly going to be a build to it, isn't there?
Aye, so the good news here is, isn't it happening in Saudi Arabia? Unless anything drastically changes over the next couple of days.
No, I think we're safe on that
everybody,
one.
Everybody thought, oh no, please don't give it away in Saudi Arabia. WrestleMania is the time to do it. But the news is essentially Edge's return date. Bear in mind, this isn't always set in stone, but is the way it normally is now with the internet. Everybody finds out when the arena announces something. And this was the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. have essentially confirmed that Edge will be back on Raw on March 9th. It could come back before that, you never know, because next week Beth Phoenix is going to be on Raw. I kind of missed the bit that they said. So they did confirm she's going to give an update on Edge's return. I actually thought the way they were leading in with Asuka and Natalya last night, they might be leading a tag team match with with Natalya and Beth Phoenix. But you never know, they could do that eventually. But I think Beth Phoenix will be there next week. Be interesting to see if they go with any kind of attack for Randy Orton on Beth Phoenix.
Imagine a concerto on Beth. Oh, how much heat would you get for that?
That'd be great. But I'd also be well up for the Divas of Doom versus the Kabuki Warriors. Like, can we just get that? That sounds good. And I see there's no fucking response to that, guys. Thanks.
I'm going, just after the thing that happened. But you never know. They could do anything. Like, Asuka could attack Beth Phoenix before she comes out, or like Edge could come out and save the day and kind of blow the return date out of the water as well. So it's the only thing that it's set in stone that it will be there in March 9th, but obviously it could appear before that. But it looks like that will obviously lead into a WrestleMania match between Edge and Randy Orton, as everybody thought was going to happen the second the Royal Rumble was done and then the following Raw.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a Mania match, isn't it?
Aye.
Big Show has been on the Broken Skull Sessions this week, and he wasn't very nice about the WWE locker room, was he?
No, I'd say it was being honest is probably the nice way I'd put it. It was nice about one guy, which probably most people that are listening to this will be happy about. It was quite a big supporter of Drew McIntyre, which was good, and what WWE are doing with Drew McIntyre. But it was pretty much calling out people for not being aggressive enough, or calling out WWE's booking of not making them seem aggressive enough. And the people that kind of took aim at was the New Day, which I think everybody's been for a while saying Big E could be. And he is legitimate when he's in the ring. Like, he's got the comedy, but he is legitimate when he's in the ring.
But then but he everybody can't dance. Is kinda like he can't the, dance like if he's aggressive, Gary. He's got to dance. That's his thing. If I don't see those hips gyrate every episode of SmackDown, what the fuck's the point in cheating at SmackDown?
See, and it's always the thing where I'm like, I wouldn't mind him going back to the thing he done at NXT with a 5 count, but at the same time, I like to see him chucking pancakes and doing the dance. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I agree with the Big Show, but I wouldn't exactly disagree with his face. So, it was quite complimentary about Drew McIntyre. So I guess swings and roundabouts. It kind of wasn't happy with some things and was happy with others, but he's one that, again, it's been rumoured that he'll get back in the ring, but obviously sporadically over the next couple of years as he winds down his career, as we've seen him getting back in the ring recently. So it'll be interesting to see if we see him against either Drew McIntyre or Big E in the future, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to see the Big Show against Drew McIntyre. They must have fought before.
Probably during Drew's first
got
run,
to
surely.
They've got to have, yeah.
They'd be like SmackDown 2009.
Big Show's faced everybody, so that's...
Yeah, exactly.
The Big Show's done a heel turn on Drew McIntyre, actually.
Well, he's done a heel turn on everyone. we're going to leave AEW. Let's get on to AEW. Now, apparently, Tony Khan's kind of stepping up now. He's getting more involved in things, isn't he, Gary?
There's been a lot of wee rumours about like power struggles going on at the top in AEW. I don't know how much I'd read into any of them, but the one thing that people have been saying is Tony Khan's taking a lot of creative control, which this is something I believe, like, it's kind of been hinted at for a while. I'm sure actually in the very first episode of Wrestling Daft, Chris Jericho was saying, like, he does leave a lot to us, but he's got a lot of say in a lot of the creative stuff. But it's now coming out that he's had a lot of kind of specific ideas and stuff like that. For instance, the tag team opener last week on Dynamite, It was the quote was for PW Insider. It was envisioned and laid out by Khan. Although they did say that the talents involved, particularly the winners, had their own say in it as well. And the other one is something that's been kind of taken the, at least internet by storm, because I think it's only really visible on the Fight TV showings. I don't think it's on like the TNT one. As Sammy Guevara signs, where when they go to a commercial break, they've got him holding up the loads of cards, no actually saying it, and just pulling the cards to the side, asking people on dates and whatever else. And they had like Darby Allin doing a similar one. That's been kind of rumoured to be Tony Khan's idea, which is like, man, does seem like he's a bit of a creative genius, and it's without comparing too much. That's kind of what Vince McMahon's more of an overseer and kind of puts his own ideas in, but lets other people do a wee bit, and then he's always got the final say. So it would seem like it's a kind of similar thing, I'd say.
No, totally. Like I do like the way that he's been literally asking out every like hot famous American pop star at the end of it. Like it's been pretty good.
Darby Allin done one last week calling him out that was like I thought was like absolutely genius, and obviously I had to scratch it right and everything because it was Darby Allin. There's one more thing on AEW as well that it might come to nothing. It might be me reading into a lot of things, but obviously there's been a lot of talk recently about Matt Hardy. The main thing is that WWE have offered him numerous contracts with a pretty generous financial side to it, but the bit they can't agree on is with Matt Hardy kind of coming to the end of his wrestling career, or at least going into the final segment of it, he wants to have like a pretty big kind of creative input and wants to wrestle a lot more. WWE, as we can see for recent weeks, they've been more inclined to use him as a catalyst to get other people over and kind of use them really sparingly. A lot of talk that his contract expires on the 1st of March, which obviously isn't too far away. If it did, it'd be a very similar deal to what happened with John Moxley, where there's no compete because his contract just expired. He's not been released in any way. One really interesting part of that is so a very controversial storyline in AEW now is the Dark Order stuff. And it's all about the Exalted One. Last week, there was a wee kind of glimpse of Raven sitting in the crowd. Everybody thought he was unveiled as the Exalted One, but it's that's seemingly a red herring. They've been putting out teasers on their Twitter, and every teaser has came out at 3:01 a.m., which obviously, if you kind of flip that to American dates, the 1st of March, they put was 3/1. So it seems like it's a bit too much to be coincidence that everything comes out at precisely 1 minute past three. So maybe that's a wee lead-in to seeing Matt Hardy in AEW, which I think he's been kind of teasing that as well. He's walking character, or broken character, sorry. The Woken one was in WWE, but he's been kind of teasing that as well. So it'd be interesting to see maybe after Revolution. I think the first Dynamite it will be after that date, or at least the second one definitely will be. So interesting to see if we'll see Matt Hardy in AEW.
Yeah, because it's literally the day before. Revolution is literally the day before his contract expires. Because it's a leap year, isn't it? It's a leap year. It's the Monday.
That's right. It's going to be a massive disappointment if it's anyone but Matt Hardy, isn't it?
I'd have accepted Marty Scurll.
You'd accept Marty.
I'd have accepted Marty Scurll, but that's obviously not been a thing.
So thanks, Gary. We'll wait and see if Matt Hardy turns up in AEW next week potentially. Hey, listen, Gary. We were talking about, I don't know, have you seen the Michael Jackson wrestler from Brazil on Twitter?
I have indeed. I've had loads of my mates sending me that.
It's amazing.
Facebook Messenger over the weekend, so it never gets old. It's quite
love
good to see.
Absolutely amazing. So we were talking earlier on about celebrities and, you know, taking a celebrity or maybe a character and turning them into a wrestling gimmick. Have you got one for us?
So I'm not sure if I can beat yours. I don't think I can, but I'm actually going to take a pre-existing wrestler and turn them into a similarly named celebrity.
Right.
So everybody knows of Nick Gage.
Right.
I want to put Nicolas Cage into the wrestling ring. Right. Because several reasons. One, you can have a Nicolas Cage match for a start.
Brilliant.
But he's also never scared of a face-off.
Oh,
he's a
world
of war. He's an army of one. He's filled with rage and he's always got a score to settle.
Oh,
wrestling can be a dog-eat-dog, but he can definitely kick ass.
Oh,
and also,
God.
No worries that SmackDown's moved to Fridays because he's never on a Tuesday anyway. And also, if he went there, he could team with Mandy. He's naked at Royal Rumbles because he's gone in 60 seconds.
Oh,
but it's fine
because
he's in a film called The Rock. And there's one last reason as well. His finishing move can be a low blow and Michael Cole can simply shout, Bangkok Dangerous.
This is why you shouldn't give a journalist a task like this. All they're going to do is do puns. Right.
He's also bankrupt, so he'll do fucking anything right now.
I know. Exactly. Book Nick Cage. Gary, thank you very much, sir, as always.
Small round of applause for that.
He's getting fuck all from me. He's getting nothing from me. Paul Daniels gimmick works better than that.
Send that man a Wrestling Daft t-shirt immediately.
Okay, so like Rab and Grado, every week we're going to bury and put over stuff from the world of wrestling, except we're basically going to take every single major show and between us we're going to bury and put over all the wrestling from
and
that
all
show.
Of the creatives are going to get all the annoyed at us, and I'm well up for that.
Yeah, exactly. So we've taken a couple of shows each. I lost the toss, and it was between Raw and SmackDown, and I ended up with bloody SmackDown.
Ooh, no one wants SmackDown.
So I'll start
Bring
off.
Bring back the land of opportunity.
I'll start off, and we'll go to last week's NXT, and we're going to do two buddies and two putovers from each show.
Because we're doing a show, we get an extra bury and put over each.
Exactly, exactly. So I want to put over, first of all, from NXT, once again, I did it a couple of weeks ago, was the Broserweights.
Oh, just keep putting them over. Just put them over every week.
Yeah, brilliant. I should probably bury the fact they've lost the golf cart, but they've lost the golf cart because of a reason. It's because the trophy, or the Stallion trophy, has been suspended due to failing the wellness policy in WWE.
John, I think you should stop bringing these wellness policy up. It's only a matter of time until the Wrestling Daft Boys drug test you. So, I mean...
Well, no, we won't get to that. But no, the Broserweights just continue. Just that whole dynamic's just brilliant. And they were fighting only Danny Burch and Oney Larkin, who are...
Why don't they have a name yet? Are they not like the Brooklyn... You know, they have matching tights. They have an entrance. Why don't they have a name?
That's very true. Very true. It's like... All you hear is Ronell going, he likes a pint in a fight. You know, that's the gimmick. But no, they're a really good team. But the Broserweights, totally putting them over this week. Going to bury, however, Joaquin Wild's ring gear. And there's probably a lot more I can bury on this
Wild's
show.
Ring gear.
Joaquin Wild's ring gear, he's got this really ridiculous hat.
It's like he can't decide if he's going cycling or snorkeling, so he wears a cycling helmet and goggles at the same time.
It's just bizarre. It's like a Tour de France, or like if you're cycling in the velodrome, it's one of those kind of cycling helmets, isn't it? It's minging, absolutely minging. So putting Buddy in his ring gear, but you know, I've got to put over, however, the Grizzled Young Veterans. Yeah, I love how they work in the ring, and especially love how they do this thing where James Drake will run over and protect the turnbuckle from Zach Gibson getting hit by it. And listen, just give Zach Gibson a mic.
He's been so good. And yeah. I think Rudo highlighted it on his list of Wrestling Daft on his top heels.
Yeah.
And Zach Gibson was his number one.
He's brilliant.
He's phenomenal.
I just hope the Americans can get, you know, his accent.
I think they do, and I think that's what gives them even more booze, is they can hear he has like a thick British accent, but they don't know where it's from, and they can only understand every third word, so they automatically boo.
Yeah, I think he's great, and I think Grizzled Young Veterans, they'll be at boots all the way up, I think.
Oh, totally, yeah.
I think they'll have the titles on them.
I wouldn't be surprised, but then again, the one questionable one, like, sorry, when you're talking about, say, this NXT UK to the main roster progression, it's not happened for anyone yet. And you think, you look at someone like Pete Dunne, and he's been in NXT for the past 3-4 years now, and he's always been heavily featured. So I'm not sure how they feel about bringing a lot of this British talent up to the main roster.
That's true. But yeah, that was NXT for me. That was my kind of buddies and putovers from NXT. What have you got from AEW, which was apparently almost like a pay-per-view?
Oh, AEW
last
was
week.
Absolutely on form. They can be slightly hit or miss, but they were definitely hitting hard this week. So start off with the big Darby Allin return, which I thought was well done. You know, he comes in at the end of a classic Jericho beat-up segment, comes down to the ring, he pulls out his cue cards, as Gary mentioned earlier on the show, and just really selling that skateboard injury that he got off Sammy Guevara a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, just great. He got right down to the ring on his skateboard, and the entire crowd was going wild. And of course, I have to put over that main event, and that steel cage. And Cody friggin' Rhodes with a friggin' moonsault off the top of that cage. Like, the construction of the cage, it looked amazing. It looked great.
Yeah, it did look good.
And that Mike moonsault, good. Cody just legged it up there. And did you say earlier he closed his eyes? And jumped backwards
apparently closed his eyes. It looked a bit frightening. I mean, Wardlow just caught him. It was not far off. It was not far off when you see the replay. You go, God almighty.
And I don't know how much experience Wardlow has at that kind of situation. Do you know what I mean? I know he's green. He didn't come across being that green, actually. But I know he's quite green, so I wouldn't be overly comfortable doing that spot with someone as green as him.
Yeah. So that's putting over. What is there anything you want to bury from the show?
Ironically, I'd kind of like to bury something that I just put over, and that was the steel cage itself. Now, originally, I thought it looked great. It was like on point, fantastic. But once I got lowered to the ring, I noticed that it doesn't hug the ring overly well.
Right.
There's
okay.
a little bit of space, and there's this little death gap. Just on the edge.
Right.
I think Cody ended up in there at one point. He had to take some really awkward bumps on his knees to make sure he stayed on the ring apron and stuff. And
right.
I can just see someone getting hurt.
Engineers need to look at the steel cage.
Yeah, it needs to be like attached to the ring in some way. I'm not sure how they do it, but good on them for trying a different steel cage design anyway.
It looked great. Anything else?
And well, finally, I have to give one thing I'd like to start doing on this show is highlighting production fuck-ups.
Right.
And giving them what I'm going to christen the Kevin Dunn Award.
Poor Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, he deserves it. He does too much on a weekly basis to annoy me. So I've got no time for Kevin Dunn.
Okay.
No time for Kevin Dunn. So, but ironically, the first Kevin Dunn Award has to go to the opposing promotion for, again, AEW sound design. And, well, not sound design, sound engineers. And just when Britt was jumping on to do her commentary spot, just hearing the rumbling of like a...
Yeah.
Do you know, it's just massively unprofessional for a company that size on live TV, if my opinion.
Yeah, I think AEW have a real issue with their sound. Like, I've always had issues with their sound when they cut to the backstage segments or, you know, they cut to things out with the commentary. It's
even commentary can be quite
bad. Yeah, there's some real issues with the AEW sound, right? So
They've gotten better at realizing they're on camera, though. As on the original fight streams Gary mentioned earlier, you just hear JR like... halfway through talking to Shivani, he's like, yeah, so this week, Tony, Inner Circle, that's what we're getting over this week, Inner Circle. So yeah, it was quite funny.
Yeah, so I lost the toss. I end up having to do SmackDown. It's going to get better at some point, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, let's start off with the positives from it. I think they did a really good gimmick match. Now, I love a good gimmick match because that's, for me, is what pro wrestling's all about. Just stupid things. They did a Symphony for Destruction match.
Even just the name of that sounds fantastic.
Which is great.
It?
So they had, on one side, they had Strowman and Elias. And on the other side, they had Nakamura and Sammy and Cesaro.
Have they given them a name yet?
No, they've not given that faction a name yet or anything. But, you know, it was good to see Elias actually wrestling because I really liked, you know, he's great. He's so over with the crowd in terms of, you know, his gimmick and all that sort of stuff. I don't think it works as well as a face, but, you know, he's over with the crowd and he gets them saying what with Elias and, you know, WWE stands for.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? They can either have him, he's a really good snidey heel, but his problem is his catchphrase is now too good.
It's too over. But, yeah, no, it was a great, you know, all the spots you would expect. You know, Strowman came down with a big double bass again. Yeah, I ended up taking it this time.
I forgot that image of Strowman in the double bass. That's glorious.
Yeah, they had guitars, obviously, drums over their head. Really good spot where Elias elbowed Cesaro on the table while Braun Strowman powerbombed Nakamura onto a grand piano.
Oh, poor Shane.
Sore, I have to say. But really enjoy it. I just like stupid stuff like that.
As it's not too much of
No,
stuff.
It's just now and again. Just now and again, a stupid gimmick match like that. So really like that.
Was it better than the Monsters Ball match from Bound for Glory 2017? I think that's the most important thing.
It was. But that's actually
don't say that too loud.
Yeah, that's actually our match of the week. And if you want to win free beer, all you need to do is get onto our Twitter or Facebook right now and rate what Grado has described as the worst match he's ever been involved in and what EC3 described as the worst pay-per-view match in the history of wrestling. So get onto the Facebook and on the Twitter just now, check out that match and rate it out of 5 for your chance to win a case of beer.
Anyone over 1 star is lying.
Exactly. So that was something, putting that over something for the Destruction match. Also putting over the fact that Goldberg, even though Goldberg's getting rammed down our throats at the moment and nobody wants to see the supposed rumours of Goldberg versus Cena at WrestleMania for the belt, that's the rumours, nobody wants to see it. But Goldberg didn't outstay his welcome. He did the entrance, he came down, he did a bit on the mic, the Fiend turns up, Goldberg spears him, right? There was a nice moment where Goldberg... You know, the lights went out and the lights came back on and Goldberg had them out. He's like, the Fiend's behind me, isn't he? And he turned around and then speared him. And then the lights went out and the Fiend disappeared. Now, listen, that's great. So Goldberg...
I think it was perfect for what it needed to be. It was short, it was sweet, and it did everything it needed to
but do. But he needs to lose against The Fiend at Super Showdown. If he needs to lose.
If we get the rumoured Goldberg Cena match for the Universal title,
booed out of that stadium.
How it little do you have to care stadium. About an entire show and a roster of your show to put two part-timers in the main event at the biggest show of the year for the big belt?
Yeah, I'll get eyes on WrestleMania, but that whole match will be booed out.
I don't think it will. I did read somewhere that they're starting to become more comfortable in letting their current crop of talent handle some of these big matches.
Right, okay.
But if you're going to do Goldberg season, save it for a fucking Crown Jewel in 6 months. It'll be fine. We can wait. There's no rush.
Exactly. So that's the putovers from SmackDown. Buddy in.
I'm amazed you got two putovers. Well done.
I want to start off by buddying Daniel Bryan and the fact he's stuck in a feud with Heath Slater. Right, come on now. Like, I get it. He's not working at Super Showdown. You're probably waiting on. But where's his build to WrestleMania? Who's he going to mess with? Daniel Bryan cannot not be on the WrestleMania card.
Oh, he might put him in the Andre Memorial.
You know, it's like you find a place for him because he's so good.
I think there's a couple of stars right now that I'd be looking at to think, where are they? Where's their spot in the
Reigns
card?
Is another one, but you end up doing
the
Universal
chamber,
picture.
Bryan's in the chamber as well, is he not?
Bryan's in the chamber, yeah. But where's he going to go after that? He's stuck. The good thing is that Drew Gulak's involved in this now, which is making it more brilliant.
You just fucking love a PowerPoint, don't you,
I'd love Drew Gulak. So, buddying that, and also I'm going to buddy Lacey Evans' gimmick. Now,
it's not good.
This week they kind of, you know, they kind of addressed it. They did a good thing. They had a sit down with Rennie Young, where you know she said, you know, you were a bully. You know, you're accusing Bailey and you know, what's her face,
Sasha,
of being a bully, and she kind of addressed that, and that was fine. But this sassy Southern Belle character doesn't match up with this kind of marine background that they're trying to build. So it's just heel. Sassy Southern Belle is just heel. Put her, however, in combats, put her in camouflage, and you know, have her salute when she comes out.
You don't even need to do combat.
Americans will lap that shit up.
If you think it right now, they don't really have that Mr. America gimmick that they sometimes almost always have on. So it makes sense.
Do it with one of the women, and you know they would lap that up. So I think there needs to be a character shift in Lacey Evans to make that her kind of face run work.
Just let them go and watch Glow and just copy the female. The American character
do that. So that was SmackDown. Raw was on. What have you got from buddying and putting over from that?
Well, the first thing I'm going to bury, I'm not sure if this is the first week that it's, this is definitely not the first week it's happened. But again, the change in the commentary team. Why have they again gotten rid of Vic Joseph? I mean, I know Dio's was in and out for, I don't really know what was ever happening with him. It's as if they were going to put him in a feud with Lesnar, then he just wasn't on commentary, then Samoa Joe turned up. It didn't really make any sense. And now they've just gone and replaced Vic Joseph for Tom Phillips. So it means we've now got Tom Phillips, Byron Saxton, and the King. Saxton. And so basically the King is the best commentator on Raw.
Oh my God.
And now that is saying something.
That's their A show. I like Tom Phillips. I think Tom Phillips is a decent play-by-play guy, but
he's too much Michael Cole for me. They've essentially just said to him, just be Michael Cole, and that's what he does.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I think he's fucking good at being Michael Cole, but I just want someone with a bit more personality in there, something a bit different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've got Michael Cole on Fridays, but we don't need him on Mondays as well.
Who'd you put on colour then if you don't have Byron? I mean, King's kind of there for nostalgia purposes, but who'd you put on Byron?
I'd bring up Aiden English. I thought he was not
bad. I thought Aiden English was
I'd also get Pat McAfee on there because I think
he was good when he did it.
He's a fucking rocket. That's why he's good. Like you could even put, I don't know, you could bring Nigel up to the main roster, right? Bring McGuinness up, put Pat on commentary.
That
NXT,
makes sense. Yeah,
Nigel up there. I think Nigel would make a big difference there. Him and Tom already have some good working dynamic from Tom doing NXT UK.
Yeah, of course,
I think it's pretty decent. That'd be why I'd go about it.
Fair enough. Anything else?
Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have to bury something to do with Drew McIntyre here. Now, I don't want the Scottish wrestling fan base to get too upset. I loved his interview, but I'm burying that fucking new t-shirt of his because it's awful. And just that claymore on the front of it, they've just put it in the same place as Brock Lesnar's sword tattoo. And it's just not necessary. They don't need to do it. They can come up better than that.
Oh, it's Jazesh. Let's say some new t-shirt suggestions for Drew.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I think they should just be coming out in three-man band attire. That's what I want. Just him rewearing the three-man band attire.
Right, okay. I'm going to go, like, just go down the kind of Scottish kind of phraseology, like, I'm going to bat our fuck out you.
Oh, did you not see there's some new line of T-shirts in Glasgow that's got, like, Buckfast stuff all over them? If Capaldi can go to the Brits with Buckfast, Drew can smash a bottle of Buckfast over Brock's head at WrestleMania.
That'd be class. He just comes down to the ring with a bottle of Bucky.
Oh, I'm a wee bit too pissed for this match, lads. And it's no
Glasgow street fight rules. We've made Lesnar. Got to happen.
Or can we get just a headbutt T-shirt with Glasgow Kiss written on it? I'd be up for that. That's well up for that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Some merch suggestions for you, Vincent. Yeah. If you want to take them on board, we'll take
and
a cut.
And some commentary suggestions.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a cut. So that's our burying or put over.
Oh, I haven't
us.
Managed to put anything over from Raw yet.
Oh, have you not put over anything? You've gone go and put on. Oh, sorry, I've got to put over sorry, two sorry, things. Too excited.
This is the most important
things.
Ones. Right, so, go. So first of all, going to put over Mr. Thomas End, Alistair Black. Not for being attacked by the OC before his match, but for then calling them out at the end of the match. So that means that potentially on the horizon, we're going to get Aleister Black versus AJ Styles. Now that makes me moist, I'm not going to lie.
That is good. I mean, good to see Aleister Black doing something other than a squash match for once.
Or chilling out in a cupboard.
Yeah.
Which we seems to work he likes to do.
Still don't like his entrance. I don't like that coming up.
I liked it until I watched like a YouTube video where someone was standing right next to it and you could just see him like getting into it and staying awkwardly before it came up. That very much ruined it for me.
Don't like that. Don't like that. What's the other thing you've been over?
My boy, Montez Ford.
Ah, yes.
And whenever I do Raw, I think it's going to be a little bit of a running theme. I'm probably just going to end up putting over Montez Ford. But he wrestled Seth Rollins. He looked great. He was great on the mic. Great build to Super Showdown on Thursday. I'm probably still not going to watch it because a little part of me dies whenever I try and watch these Saudi shows, but I want to watch that match.
Street Profits think they've got a chance against Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins. Think they'll put the belts on them.
I think they need to get the belts away from Buddy. And actually, again, what's Seth going to do at WrestleMania as well?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because I was going to
Kevin Owens, up your Kevin Owens.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you want to kind of get the belts away from Seth because then you could give it to the Profits. Then you could put the Profits and the Authors into a wee feud.
Because
we didn't see them in NXT. They were kind of like missed each other to a certain degree. I'd imagine Authors might have squashed them a couple of times, but never actually saw that. So I'd be up for that.
Right, okay.
And as well, Street Profits were red. The Raw Tag Team belts are red. So for once, the belts might actually look quite good on them. So,
Okay, take that. I'll take that. So that's your burying or putovers. Also heard from my burying and putovers. If you want to do your own, all you need to do is tweet us at Wrestling Daft or go onto our Facebook on the Wrestling Daft page. We'll be putting up the links for that. And Rab and Grado will be featuring your bury or putovers on this Friday's Wrestling Daft main show. So, do you know, Alex, you can buy Wrestling Daft merch.
Can you? It's not as if I'm wearing any just now, John.
I know you are currently sporting a crud t-shirt.
I believe that this is actually one of the lowest sellers so far. I think I'm wearing a little bit of a limited edition t-shirt here.
Limited edition crud t-shirt, and I am wearing the I'm a Mark t-shirt. These are t-shirts that are available on our Spreadshirt store. You can get them at spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. We've got loads of designs up there. We've got all the catchphrases from Wrestling Daft, including I'm gonna take a bump for you, chips, cheese and doner meat, Margaret there's the fiend, and my favourite one, of course, I'm a Mark, named after this show. You'll get them at shop.spreadshirt.
What is this show named after the t-shirt? That's the second one.
That's true. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You'll get the links on our Facebook and our Twitter. If you do buy a t-shirt, please send a pic on social media of you in said t-shirt, or you can even get a Wrestling Daft hoodie up there as well, and we'll put you in our Hall of Fame. So get on board right now. Get your picture in your t-shirt at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestling. Ah, feel that breeze.
The warm sun.
Pass me another pina colada, will you, Alex? Welcome to Fantasy Booking Island. Now, on this island, anything goes. So you get to book whatever wrestling match in whatever way you see fit based on current storyline. So basically, things like this, they're not really going to happen. But we want them to happen. We would like to see them happen. So,
and if you don't have any ideas, creative, please refer to this podcast for ideas.
Exactly. So every week we're going to book something from a creative point of view on Fantasy Booking Island. So I'm going to sit back with my very fancy cocktail with an umbrella on it, and Alex is going to talk you through a few scenarios he would like to see happen.
Ooh. Well, Fortunately enough, this is going to be a good week of wrestling ahead. We have both the WWE pay-per-view and an AEW pay-per-view.
Yes, yes, we do.
So, I'm going to dive straight in to AEW Revolution.
Right, okay.
Into your tag team championship match.
Right,
the Young
okay.
Bucks versus Kenneth and Mr. Page.
Right.
So, I think we're all currently expecting the big heel turn to come from Adam Page. I want to do it the other way around.
Ooh.
So, at some point during the match, Page goes out to the crowd, right. Grabs a beer, and he's standing neck in a beer. There's been a little bit of dissension between him and Kenny by this point.
Uh-huh.
And Kenny just super kicks the shit out of him and leaves the arena, which leaves the Bucks there to take the belts, take him home, and then they end up actually carrying Hangman back out of the ring with them.
I like that.
But from there,
right?
Kenny doesn't show up for a couple of weeks. And I mean like a month. So let's give this some time to breathe. In the meantime, every Japanese female member of the roster undergoes quite a significant change. And becomes a lot more heelish, gets all kind of badass cyberpunky Tokyo on their arse, apart from Hirako Shida. They can leave Hirako Shida alone, she's fine. Everyone else completely change, right? Then when Kenny pops back in a month, he can come out and be like, yeah, I've had enough of all you Americans, all you drinking beer, not appreciating all my Japanese Josie wrestling. So yeah, we're here to kind of, I don't know, take over, do whatever it is. I don't know, change the world, change the company.
So like a female Nexus.
Female Bullet
Japanese
Club.
Female Bullet Club.
In reverse, right?
Oh.
I need a name. How about we just call it the Anti-Gaijin Gang for this
right,
point, right?
Okay.
So that gives you a reason to overhaul your entire female division. But it doesn't stop there.
Right, oh God.
This is where it grew legs, yeah, okay? Yeah. So they announce a number one contendership match for the tag team belts at Double or Nothing, right? And it's some kind of mad elimination match, right? So Kenny, being an EVP, books himself in the match. And everyone's like, who's your partner, Kenny? And he's like, it's going to be a secret. It's going to be a secret. So the match starts. Kenny comes out last. No partner in sight. Just goes and sits in commentary. But this is one of these hooky-fooky kind of elimination matches. So everyone gets eliminated, and you're down to the last two. I think this would work most effectively if they're like uber-face, the people in the ring. So let's say Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy,
right.
Both in the ring. Kenny comes down, somehow basically... good little back and forth between them all. So basically, he ends up pinning Luchasaurus. Then he gets Jungle Boy up for a one-winged angel. Jungle Boy reverses it, pins Kenny. 1, 2, 3. Little roll-up. Kenny goes mental, gets on the mic, and it's like, no, 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 no. You may have beaten me, but you haven't beaten my partner. To which a hooded man wearing a tiger mask, now the most markiest of marks know where I'm going with this,
right.
Walks down to the ring. While this is happening, Kenny gets in the ring with a chair, twats the fuck out of Jungle Boy. Masked man jumps up on the Katana turnbuckle, 630 splash, picks up Jungle Boy, sets him up, a lovely big Kamigoye to the head, pins him, 1, 2, 3, takes off the tiger mask, and it's Kota Ibushi, giving you your main event at Double or Nothing for the tag team titles, the Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers.
Right. Oh, you have taken a lot of thought into this.
There you go. That's
I'm going to say book it. I want to say book it, but what happens? I'm intrigued in what you do with your female Bullet Club in the meantime, when this is all going on with Kenny and the Bushi.
Basically, I want the females to essentially do their own thing.
Right.
I want them to be linked to Kenny as the reason why they've all gone heel, but I don't want there to be too big of a link there, because I want them to go and shine by themselves, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I just want them to generally start causing havoc, change up their style a little bit, try and get over with the American crowd a little bit more, and I think being heels the way to do that. And I think it gives the women something to do, it gives them the heel stable they were looking for with the Nightmare Collective. I just think it gives them a lot.
Right, book it, you booked me. Fantasy booking Ireland this week, I'm saying book it.
Yes, that's one out of one, I will take that.
And if you want to get involved, we'd love to get you involved in Fantasy Booking Ireland. If you want to book something on Fantasy Booking Ireland, pick up a pina colada, tweet us at Wrestling Daft, and we'll feature you on next week's Fantasy Booking Island. So every week on Wrestling Daft the Marks, we're going to feature one of our former guests from Wrestling Daft as they do a thing that we're going to call the 10 count. 10 questions based on wrestling. They've got to give us just the first answer off the top of their head, and we're going to start off this week with ICW owner Mark Dallas.
Number 1, first wrestling match you watched? Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Bob Orton, was it?
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Londo.
And Bob Orton was in a corner. I've heavy fucked that there. But that was the first
match. That was the first one you ever saw.
Yes.
Number two, best match you've wrestled in.
Well, I've only wrestled a handful of times, but it would have to be the time that I got kicked fuck out of by Jackie Polo.
Number three, your favourite opponent.
I don't know, Jackie Polo.
Favourite wrestler of all time.
Ultimate Warrior.
Five, favourite tag team of all time.
Legion of Doom.
Six, favourite finishing move, aside for yours.
I don't know, I've no clue. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, you must have thought of your finishing move. You must have thought, what would your finishing move
mate,
be?
Something like
a stunner one.
Something that wouldn't involve me picking somebody up. A stunner or a famous or something like that. Something where I don't need to do anything physical.
Aye. Your favourite promo of all time.
Favourite promo of all time. That is a solid one. One that sticks out, being put on the spot like that, is Ric Flair's after he's won the 1992 Royal Rumble.
Oh man. Oh, aye. My favourite Royal Rumble ever. Favourite entrance theme, number eight, favourite entrance theme.
Mate, what are you trying to do to me here? Rob Van Dam, Pantera Walk.
Number nine, favourite pay-per-view.
WrestleMania 17.
Rock and Austin.
Yes.
Beautiful. 10, favourite match of all time.
Favourite match of all time might actually be The Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
Fucking, listen, that comes up a lot, that match. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it comes up a lot.
It's incredible.
I'm telling you. Thanks. That was the 10 count with Mark Dallas.
So that's it for the first Wrestling Daft the Marks. Thank you very much for listening to this.
And hopefully you've made it all the way to this point in the podcast.
Hopefully you've not buried us already and got to this point. Please make sure you subscribe to Wrestling Daft. We're going to be twice a week now. Get us on Apple. You can rate, review, and subscribe there, and please leave a, we'd love to hear your feedback because we can only get better.
Way to put yourself over, John.
Exactly. So thanks for listening. Rab and Grado are going to be back with the main show on Friday at 3:16. Joe Henry was meant to be on this week, but I've just had a text from Grado saying he's cancelled and it's probably going to be on next week. So at this point, I am running about trying to get a guest because we're recording tomorrow.
And you're also breaking kayfabe, John.
Yeah, I know. So hopefully we'll have someone on this week for that. Definitely, however, the list of Wrestling Daft this week is your most memorable spot from a match ever. Alex, what's yours?
Oh, probably The Undertaker pushing Rikishi off the Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah, that was your favourite match. Yeah, so yeah, that's the six-man Armageddon.
Yeah, so that's where my head immediately
goes. So Rikishi
goes.
Going into the
Rikishi getting pushed off with the weakest choke slam of all time.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back a wee bit. And the one that really stands out, the first kind of spot that people went into school next game, they go, did you see that? Was Hulk Hogan suplexing the Big Boss Man off the top of the big blue cage on Saturday night's main event.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
It's the first time you went, that was the first wrestling holy shit moment. And you go, he's dead! So I'm with that. But please get your favourite and most memorable wrestling spots into Rab and Grado, and we'll feature you on the list of Wrestling Daft this week when the boys come back at 3:16. That's it from us. Two big pay-per-views this week.
Yeah, it's gonna be a busy show
this
next
weekend.
Week.
Yeah, so busy we've got obviously week. We've got Super Showdown on Friday. Run through the card quickly. You can give me your winners from each. New Day versus Miz and John Morrison for the tag team championship.
Oh, New Day.
Brock Lesnar versus Ricochet.
I'm not gonna waste my time with that one, Brock Lesnar.
Reigns versus Corbin.
Oh, Reigns.
The Fiend versus Goldberg.
Oh, I'm gonna say Fiend because I'm gonna fantasy book that. I'm not gonna predict it because I can't say Bill Goldberg on that.
Please don't put the title on Goldberg. AJ Styles, Andrade, Bobby Lashley, Eric Rowan, R-Truth, and Rusev in a gauntlet match for the big trophy.
Ooh, I could see them doing AJ.
I think Andrade might win that, you know.
Ooh, I don't know. Depends on how much the rumours about a suspension were. If it was just because he was on holiday, why not?
Bayley versus Naomi.
Bayley, because they don't seem to know what the hell they're doing with the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I think Bayley's going to retain so they can set up her versus Sasha at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's kind of all they've got
left. Seth Rollins and Murphy versus the Street Profits.
The Street Profits every day of the
Your
week.
Your boy's going to get the tag team championships, do you think?
I think it's time. I think it's time to move them on, and it makes sense to have Seth and Buddy as interim champions.
The what do you call it champions?
Do you know when they abuse them as passy champions? Oh, to
right,
swap?
Passy champions. Just call passy them passy champions.
They're the passy champions.
The passy
right?
champions.
Hot potato passy champ.
And then we've got Revolution this Saturday, the big pay per view. Chris Jericho versus Moxley.
I think they're going to keep it on Jericho. I think they're going to give Jericho a full year run and have him lose it all out.
Really? Okay, then. Nia Rose and Chris Statlander are going to keep it on Nia Rose, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara.
Oh, Darby's got to get his revenge, surely.
I think they might have Sammy Guevara win that, being because I think they'll have every member of the winner circle win that pay-per-view.
Ooh.
Potentially. Jake Hager versus Dustin
Gotta
Rhodes.
Be Hager. Hager's so not going to lose a match until not he's
exactly.
lost
it's his first match. We're going to come back to this one because that's an interesting one. MGF versus Cody.
MGF, but a dirty finish.
Dirty finish,
dirty
MGF.
Finish from MGF.
I heard another podcast talking about this, actually. They reckon Cody will batter shit out of MGF to leave him this kind of bloody mess. There'll be some sort of hooky goings-on, and MGF with this kind of absolute battered guy will just kind of lean the hand over Cody to pin him 1-2.
The classic, kind of finish. Yeah. So wouldn't be surprised.
That would be interesting to see. And this, for me, is the most interesting match on the cards. Kenny Omega and Hangman versus the Young Bucks.
Obviously the Young Bucks with a Kenny Omega heel turn in the middle of it.
Do you think so?
Oh, well, you're fancy because that's what I want to happen.
What do you think will happen?
I think that this has to be with the due dissension of Page and Omega. It has to be, and I can see them putting it onto the Bucks and Bucks moving on to another feud. I was surprised it was the Bucks in this match. I was expecting Santana and Ortiz, but
I think they'll keep the belts on and they'll put Omega. I kind of changed my mind on this over the last couple of weeks. I think Hangman and Omega will keep the belts and they'll keep that going. Ooh. And you'll see a more of a dissension into it. Though I would love if Omega turned heel.
Because the other one is...
I would love that. That would be great.
I think it'd be great.
Your fantasy booker, I'd love that.
Because like, you know, it's like everyone's been complaining about like his posing and things like that.
Yeah.
Imagine that if he's a heel. Imagine how booed he's going to get.
Yeah,
it's great.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're never going to do that.
Well, that's it been for Wrestling Daft, the Marks. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another one.
Sayonara. Audio Frontier.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.